The first thing is first thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale on 760 WJR and on the WJR app, where Michigan comes to talk.
This is a WJR hold on to your butts weather alert.
Put your wigs on. Cure them down.
is that an old Italian phrase? Put your wigs on when there's bad weather coming?
I don't know. Maybe just my grandma. I'm not exactly sure. Either way, they could blow away if they're not secured properly today.
That's true. Maybe just wear a hat instead of a wig if there you're the wig wearing type. I have to say, weather reports are so dramatic nowadays. I don't know what's a legit threat and what's not. I don't know if it's a ratings thing. I don't know if it's forewarned is forewarned or whatever it is. Maybe if, you know, there's been times in the past where the weather was worse than forecasted, so they're just covering their butts themselves. But it seems like every time a storm is in the forecast, they're always like, it's this color threat for tornadoes. It's right. This color threat for damaging winds. It's this color threat for floods. By the time the weather report's over and it's time for sports, you're all freaked out and putting everything in the basement up on stilts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just looking like these maps are rainbows. It's right. Hard to keep up with what color is pink more severe than yellow? Wait, look it up.
Well, they always use the words like you just did in yours with possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And like that covers everything.
This could be something. It could be nothing.
Right.
Here's your WJR walking forecast. It's possible you might get hit by a bus crossing the street.
There
it's possible.
Go. There you go.
I was like, wait, what's happening?
Breaking news.
What's happening? I can't handle breaking news this early. But I guess it's going to happen in two waves, midday and evening. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be serious. Don't listen to us.
It looks like around lunchtime, there's like a 45% chance. And then that dies off until about 5 o'clock. It ticks up to 41. Then 6 o'clock, 81%.
Yeah. So batten down the hatches. Don't listen to us. If they're saying it's serious, that it's serious. But I don't know how severe it's supposed to get.
Keep an eye to the sky.
That's right. I do know it's hot in the morning, so that doesn't portend well for when storms are coming. So I don't know. Just stay in your basement and keep it on WJR. Before we go any further, there's a very special happy birthday wish I want to put out there.
Oh, mine's not for another few days.
Oh, your birthday is next week? Just kidding. I knew that. It's on my Facebook birthday comings up. But no, in all seriousness, this is one of my most cherished long-running relationships. And I just want to say...
Your wife?
Her birthday was back in May.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm out of ideas. Go on.
Happy 89th birthday to Big Boy. All right.
Oh,
I love Big Boy.
Yes. Happy birthday, Big Boy.
The Big Boy classic is one of my all-time favorite menu items at any restaurant.
I did not know that. Wow, this is a special day for you.
And
similar to the Big Mac, but way better.
You know what? You should work in marketing for Big Boy because that's exactly how I feel about it.
Wow. I did not know the love ran so deep for Big Boy. I know they're doing a bunch of discounts to celebrate.
Well, they have a bunch of billboards, too, on 94. And you're like, your first thought is, where is their Big Boy?
I'll tell you where all the Big Boys are.
I know of one in my area.
He has the app.
Yeah. I just know him by memory.
Oh.
But yes, they're selling 89-cent Big Boys today, which I actually tried.
Deal.
Wow,
it is. However, a couple years ago, whatever birthday they were celebrating, 84 or 85, my wife and I tried going and getting one, and we walked into the Big Boy. They said, "We are literally sold out of food. We can get you pop."
Oh no! Wow. I think,
though we're talking about Big Boy, and I could definitely go for a Big Boy today. I'll wait until tomorrow, pay full price so that I know I'm guaranteed to get one.
Or maybe Friday you can get a free slice of pie because they're doing that with any purchase of $8.99 or more.
Wow. We are so well versed in all the deals on Big Boy.
760 WJR. Breaking news.
Severe weather. Shelter at your nearest Big Boy.
That's right. I do love their breakfast buffet and their clam chowder slaps.
Oh my God, yes.
The breakfast buffet was great.
Yeah, it's such a deal. They're doing one of the days for $12.99 as well.
I may not have
looked into this.
Should have been $12.89.
Right.
I'm the Big Boy fanatic on the show. Okay, Renee.
Maybe I was going to take you, Mike, but never mind now.
Oh, dang. I'm sorry. I just get passionate when it comes to Big Boy. But yeah, I've never been big on like the big free offer thing because I feel like you wait in line and it's just better to wait a day or two.
Right.
And skip the line. All right. So, of course, in more serious news, the situation between Israel and Iran is escalating to the point where Donald Trump is weighing getting our military involved. The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem is closed through at least Friday. Donald Trump, he posted a warning on X to Iran's supreme leader saying that essentially he knows where they are. He's an easy target. They're not going to kill him yet, but his patience is wearing thin, and that he demanded Iran's unconditional surrender. Israeli forces, they killed a top Iranian military official who replaced another military official that Israel killed 4 days ago. So that's not really a job that I think a lot of people are clamoring for.
Yeah, I don't think people are standing in line for that one.
And the interesting thing is, a number of Donald Trump's most ardent supporters are splitting with him because, you know, a big part of Donald Trump's base is the America First contingent. And obviously this goes against the America First contingent. So Tucker Carlson and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, they were actually sitting next to Donald Trump in the VIP section at the military parade over the weekend. But now they're criticizing the president, which I feel like we've been seeing a lot of people in Trump's camp break with him recently, starting with Elon Musk, and it's becoming more and more common. You're seeing Republicans in the House and Senate not loving the big, beautiful bill. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene said in a social media post from a couple days ago that foreign wars, intervention, regime change puts America last, kills innocent people. It's making us broke and will ultimately lead to our destruction. Tucker Carlson last week, he accused Trump of being complicit in the act of war in a newsletter he said could be his last before all out war. So this might be the last communication. Sign up for my newsletter for $6.99 a month. But
you know, this may be the only time I've ever agreed with anything that has come out of Marjorie Taylor Greene's mouth.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, I'm not the hugest Marjorie Taylor Greene fan, but at least you're seeing some consistency here with her. There's times I've looked at her and thought she was absolutely out of her mind.
Right.
But at least, you know, at least good for her for there being a line for where she's going to break.
Being complicit.
Right. And because it seems like kind of the goalposts have moved with a lot of Trump's most ardent supporters. And it seems like I said, in the past month or two, you know, there's some actual diversity of thought in the Donald Trump contingency, the Make America Great Again movement. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, this I think it's going to be very, very serious, and it'll be a huge escalation if the United States gets involved. And I know they're going to sell it that it's in America's best interest because Iran is building a nuclear weapon. But if the United States gets involved, who else is going to get involved on behalf of Iran?
I noticed that gas prices at the corner of my street have climbed significantly in the past day.
Yeah. Yep. And that's
$3.49. That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's, we've been hearing that since these bombings began last week that, you know, this is a very oil rich area. And, you know, what's been happening in the Middle East hasn't really had any effect on gas prices. But once you have two countries going against each other, not a country and a militant group, everything changes. So
right. We
got to hit a quick break. First thing, Mike Parsons, Renee Vitale, WJR. And we are heading into JR Morning with Chris, Lloyd, and Jamie. And it's a dawning of a new era here in Metro Detroit, the ramp metering era. It's starting on the ramps onto I-96 in the Novi, Milford, Wixom area. And it's, my guess is it's going to expand throughout Metro Detroit. Essentially what it is, it's stoplights on ramps, and they're using sensors where for the most part the stoplights are going to be flashing yellow. But if the sensors pick up that traffic has slowed to 65 miles an hour or less for 5 minutes, there's going to be a traditional red light, green light, yellow light, traffic lights system in place. And I don't know how this is going to go, because I feel like we as a Metro Detroit area are still grappling with the concepts of roundabouts.
I cannot stand a roundabout.
I love roundabouts.
The anxiety I feel as I come up to a roundabout is immense.
Roundabouts are cool if you know how to
drive
the roundabout.
Well, I don't know how.
Your day is not in that group.
Yeah. No.
It's going to be driver's training. We're all going to go out with Renee at a roundabout until she gets over her fears of them.
So this new light system on the on-ramps is over by my neck of the woods. So I'll be the first guinea pig, and I can report back. I don't know why we're doing this.
I'm trying to say, what's the purpose, really?
The infraction is, it's like running a red light.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
But these are on the on-ramps, where you merge to get on a freeway,
right?
Where
you accelerate.
Yeah. Correct.
Not sit at a light.
So, okay. I'm just trying to understand.
I know.
I feel like I'm going to be earning my paycheck for the next few weeks while people learn this new system.
You know, just have those eight ramps and say there's a backup on them, and you'll never have nothing to talk about.
Right. That's what I'm waiting for when there's a backup on the ramp because the light is red.
Right.
You know, when you're going down and everybody's going 65 or whatever, and you have to, once the light turns green, you jump out on the freeway to merge.
Right.
Yeah, because obviously, I guess the aim for this is to keep traffic flowing in for safety. I understand the safety part,
yes.
But to me, I feel like it's just going to add to backups onto service drives and all that other
especially
stuff.
Especially rush hour.
Right, but think of some of these left entrance ones where it's really hard to see. It might help there. Like when you're going from the lodge south to try and get on 94.
Oh, 94.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
That one would be helpful.
Yeah.
One would be helpful.
They do this
in LA. We were just in LA and it keeps traffic moving. Because you
felt it worked well.
Yeah.
Okay.
In those areas,
you have the ramp to get on. But then you have the other, it's like another ramp where somebody else from the other direction is turning to get on the same ramp. So there's two roadways merging on one way into the freeway.
Yeah, and then you have two lanes. That's another.
Correct.
Oh, gosh.
Correct.
So, it's giving me anxiety talking about it. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Chris, I'm happy I'm an East Sider right now.
This is like solving the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah.
This is going to be difficult.
Here's the thing. Just like roundabouts started on the west side and migrated east, I'm sure this is going to be coming to all of our necks of the woods soon.
Yeah.
And
is it neck of the woods, plural at the end, or necks?
I don't know. As you can tell, I struggled with that.
It's necks of the wood.
I think that's what it is. That's right.
You don't think,
That'll be tomorrow's crosstalk song. Necks of the wood or neck of the woods, like attorneys general.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Chris, you're going to have to put your newsman hat back on.
Yeah.
And
stand right in the middle of the lane and just report from there.
That seems like
a great idea.
Right.
Nat sound.
Here we go.
Putting yourself at risk for the story. WJR, or just JR Morning coming up. Not WJR Morning. JR Morning coming up. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei issued a warning at dawn on social media telling Israel the battle begins. Hours earlier, President Donald Trump called the Supreme Leader an easy target and said that America's patience is wearing thin. He also demanded Iran's unconditional surrender. Now, President Trump, he's growing increasingly more receptive to using military assets to strike Iranians' nuclear facilities, and he's souring on the idea of diplomatic solutions to end this conflict, according to two officials and what they told CNN. Air defenses are repelling projectiles over Tehran after Israel's Air Force said it was carrying out strikes on the Iranian capital. Israelis were also warned about incoming Iranian missiles, and explosions were heard in Tel Aviv. Trump also issued a series of warnings to Iran, calling Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, I said this already, an easy target, and demanding an unconditional surrender. He also said that we have complete control over the skies of Iran, which is an interesting use of words, mm-hmm. especially how when this all started, he was trying to make it clear the United States had nothing to do with it. The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem is closed through Friday, and Israeli forces killed a top Iranian military official 4 days after he assumed that role, replacing another top Iranian military official who was killed 4 days ago. And Donald Trump mulling the possibility of getting involved is causing a split amongst some of his most ardent supporters. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said in a social media post a couple days ago that foreign wars, intervention, regime changes puts America last, kills innocent people, making us broke, and will ultimately lead to our destruction. Tucker Carlson last week accused Trump of being complicit in the act of war. He wrote in a newsletter that it could be the last before all-out war breaks out as the conflict between Israel and Iran potentially widens. Meanwhile, here closer to home, you might be seeing something that you've never seen before on on-ramps to the freeway.
Yeah, so drivers that are getting onto I-96 between Novi and Milford Roads in Oakland County will encounter a new traffic flow system. It's called ramp metering. So beginning today, the ramp metering will begin at 8 entrance ramps along the 96 flex route. Other states use ramp metering to reduce crashes, and they say it improves travel times and control the flow of traffic entering the freeway. Sounds very suspicious of roundabouts, which I'm not sold on. the ramp meters will be used when traffic is slower and congested. So when using the meters, drivers will form two lanes on the ramp. Stop at the white line, wait your turn for the green light before moving onto the freeway. MDOT said that when the ramp meters are in use, not stopping for the red light is considered a traffic violation, the same as if you ran a red light on a traditional traffic signal. And then when they're not in use, the lights will flash yellow, drivers merge onto the freeway like normal. So there's going to be a bit of a learning curve to this.
Yeah, I've got thoughts. You've got thoughts. You know, we'll talk about it in a crosstalk with Chris, Lloyd, and Jamie, because I'm sure everyone has thoughts on this. The No Kings protests last week is being billed as one of the largest one-day mass demonstrations in U.S. history. Turned out there was over 2,100 events in all 50 states, more than 5 million protesters. A second No Kings protest has been scheduled for July 17th. In honor of civil rights activist and lawmaker John Lewis, who died on that day back in 2020. And it'll be interesting to see if they can draw the same numbers. I know a lot of what drove people out on Saturday was Trump's military parade and the National Guard and Marines being called out to protest in L.A. the week previous. That's two galvanizing events. So it'll be interesting to see if we'll see the same turnout on July 17th. I guess it just depends on what happens the week before, to be honest.
That's fair. Yeah. I didn't realize that it was a global thing. I just thought it was in our country.
Yeah, I saw that it said around the world. I think it was mostly in this country, but I'm sure there was other ones that broke out in around the world, but I think most of it was here. And then it looks like the deadline for TikTok to divest from Chinese interest being extended again.
Remember that? President Trump signaled yet another delay in this long-running saga over TikTok's future in the U.S. Speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One, Trump suggested that he would probably extend the June 19th deadline for ByteDance. Well, that's tomorrow. TikTok's China-based owner to divest its U.S. operations. So this would mark the third time that Trump has pushed back the deadline following previous extensions in January and April when negotiations stalled because of this geopolitical tensions that are going on everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, he probably forgot about it. He's got far bigger fish to fry right now.
Oh, crap. All right. I better
that
sign
date's
something.
Coming up.
Yeah. And I think this is just going to keep being extended more and more because after Trump called for the ban, he got on TikTok and realized he liked it.
Yeah, so right.
I think TikTok is safe for the time being. The Detroit News and Free Press, they're ending their decades-long joint operating agreement at the end of this year. Gary Miles, editor and publisher of Detroit News, gives us more details on Focus with Paul W. Smith.
It's been a 36-year partnership with the Detroit Free Press. You've never really paid too much attention to it. We did way back in the beginning because we were told a joint operating agreement was needed to keep the newspapers alive in Detroit. Well, it's been decided that in the case of the Detroit News, which has been continuously published since August of 1873, they can be on their own after the first of the year. Gary Miles, editor and publisher of the Detroit News, we got you on today, but we don't have a lot of time. So instead of me asking a lot of questions, why don't you just explain to our WJR listeners, Gary, what this means?
Well, it means going forward, the Detroit News will partner a little more closely with our suburban sister papers, Macomb Daily, Oakland Press, Royal Oak Daily Tribune, and the Southgate News Herald. We have been sister papers, but because of the JOA, we haven't been able to really collaborate or cooperate that closely. And from a business standpoint, we'll be completely standalone from the Detroit Free Press.
Which you've been in terms of the things that matter to us. I am a subscriber. I do write a column every Monday, but I pay to subscribe to the Detroit News to be delivered to my home because I love the newspaper. I love having it in my hands. And I wouldn't know the difference from the JOA because in the JOA, it meant that you shared printing companies. You shared some of the business in the background, but you were fiercely competitive editorial-wise.
We absolutely were and will absolutely continue to be fiercely competitive. I think the biggest, you know, there were strictures in the JOA that, for instance, didn't allow the Detroit News to publish on Sunday. Well, that's no longer a prohibition if we move forward, as we move forward. So there are little things like that play a role that we can operate the business in the way that makes the most sense for the Detroit News, for our readers, and for our advertisers.
Well, for three consecutive years, the Detroit News has been named the state's top newspaper by the Michigan Press Association. That's judged by journalists in other states. So they have no axe to grind. They just looked for the best newspaper, and they chose it, the Detroit News. That's got to make you feel pretty good. Are you nervous about any of the additional expenses you might have to take on now that they're not shared with the Free Press?
Well, as I shared with the staff, the life within the JOA, we knew and could anticipate things that were going to happen. And this, of course, can be unsettling for our staff. And for our readers, but I'm not really nervous about anything. We've got the best news staff in Michigan, I think, without question, and we have a tremendous momentum. They're doing good work. Subscribers are noticing. The digital subscriptions have continued to be a strong asset. They're producing revenue that we didn't have at all in 2019, and that's a tremendous boost to us.
You know, I'm almost sensing a sense of relief and excitement now under these circumstances where you really will be able to completely go head-to-head with this other newspaper that you've gone head-to-head with, but there's been a friendly relationship because you've shared so many services. All of that ends at the end of the year. And as long as the newspapers, both of them, can handle that, that's going to be a good thing. There was a time when we were told the newspapers wouldn't survive. This is back when there's some pretty tough, there was upheaval in the industry, and it preserved two great distinct media voices during that time. But do you think we're past all of that and we're going to be okay and that we will continue to have two newspapers?
Well, I think for sure the JOA, it served its role, which was to get us through that incredible upheaval of the last, 36 years. The 90s were good to newspapers. The 2000s have not been good. For the last few years, we've been stable, and I think the biggest growth area has been, digital revenue from subscriptions. People are willing to pay for a credible news that they trust, and we've seen growth in that area, and I think that has given the companies confidence that we can go forward.
We see streaming as our future in radio, for example. Folks, that's why I always say stream us at WJR.com. Do you see enough years left in an actual printed paper newspaper?
Well, there seems to be, you know, there's a very hearty group of people who want to get the tactile newspaper in their hands, read it from beginning to end, look it over, and not necessarily want to come into the news sites on a daily basis. And for that, we want to continue it as long as we can. And I think it'll continue for quite a while. There's a number of those people who want the hard copy in their hands.
I am unabashedly one of those people. There's, to me, still something very special about grabbing our newspaper with a cup of coffee. Now, mind you, I'm able to spend more time doing that, say, on a Saturday, Sunday, than I am during the week, but I still like having this newspaper in my hands to read. Now, I know you can read stuff online, but you also get diverted to things of social media and such that are not worthy of being news, because there's nobody like Gary Miles as an editor or publisher overseeing what's being put out there. And you have real award-winning journalists that give us the stories that we can trust and follow in the award-winning The Detroit News. So I'm looking at this as a congratulatory conversation. Congratulations, you made it through those tough 36 years, and now you're going to get the opportunity to make it on your own.
We're excited about it, and looking forward to what the next 36 years brings.
Excellent. I love the attitude, and God bless you, Gary, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Take care.
Gary Miles, editor and publisher of The Detroit News. The JOA, Joint Operating Agreement, will be no more.
Another name has thrown their hat into the ring for governor.
Tom Leonard, former Republican House Speaker, has officially declared his candidacy, and he talks to Kevin Dietz.
We have some big political news for you here in Michigan. Former Speaker of the House Tom Leonard has officially entered the race for governor. Leonard, a lifelong Michigander, a proven conservative leader, says he's running to turn Michigan into a growth state, to lower taxes, to cut red tape, and empower workers. His campaign really promises to be a positive vision focused on improving education, fixing mental health care, and holding state government accountable. Tom Leonard joins us now. Welcome back to All Talk, sir.
Hey, good morning, my friend. Happy to be here, especially in this context.
Well, congratulations on the announcement. Now the hard work begins. What was the deciding factor for you to jump in?
Yeah, and it is going to be a lot of hard work. And I will tell you this. We have spent the past several months traveling the state, listening to voters, again, from all areas of the state. And what I have found is they want somebody that is going to be focused on positive with bringing solutions to the problems that the state faces with a positive message. And what I've told my team is we're going to bring the Dan Campbell approach. When Dan Campbell was hired by the Lions and he held that first press conference, he didn't look at past years of failure. He said, by gosh, we're going to come to the table. We're going to put together the right team, a lot of hard work, a lot of grit, and we're going to go get it done. And Kevin, when you look at the issues that are facing the state right now, 49th out of 50 in unemployment, income growth in the bottom 10, an educational crisis, what does that mean? It means that our kids and our future, they're leaving this state. I'm doing this for my kids to make certain that they can stay here, but we've got to do it with a positive vision focused on solutions to these problems.
Well, let's stick with the football reference and talk about the X's and O's here. How did we get here, and how do we make those massive changes? These are each one of these things mentioned: education, mental health, growing the state. These are massive issues.
Listen, policies matter. I mean, you look at what's happened with our unemployment rate since Right to Work was repealed just a couple of years ago. It has continued to plummet. We need tax reform to not only lower the income tax in the state, but do something about property taxes. As I travel and I listen to people, I hear from young couples who have just gotten married or are looking at getting married, and they say, my goodness, number one, I can't afford a home, but number two, if I do, am I going to be able to afford the property taxes? Think about the stress that puts on a young couple that are newly married. They want to start a family. They want to be able to go on vacation. That's tough for them, not to mention seniors that I talk to that want to stay in their homes. They're retired. They're on a fixed income. They can't afford their property taxes in their home anymore. So we've got to make Michigan more affordable. But you know, as you mentioned, we're going to focus on other issues that other candidates aren't focused on right now. Third grade reading. We've got to do something with this third grade reading crisis, mental health reform. And then third, holding government accountable. And when I say holding government accountable, I mean the executive. I want to make certain that we've got, you know, the right laws in place to hold the executive branch accountable every single day.
Well, that's going to be tough to do because Michigan is ranked dead last or second to last when it comes to transparency. And whether it was Republicans in charge or Democrats in charge, it has been fought left and right, tooth and nail, to not allow the public and the press to know what's going on in Lansing. How do we change that if both parties say they want to do that, but nobody does it?
So let's talk about that. When I was speaker, we passed FOIA reform and open records through the chamber when I was speaker. I've got a history of doing it. When I came in, I made certain that every single one of my staffers, and they were not happy about it, but I made certain that every single one of my staffers, their names, their titles, and their salaries were posted online for the citizens of this state to review. So I can tell you right now, play it back when I'm the next governor. We're going to make it happen. If the legislature won't take it up, we're going to do it unilaterally, at least with the executive office. We're going to open that office to FOIA. It has to be done. But another idea that I have is expanding the office of Auditor General. The Auditor General, they are the investigators that are on the ground every day investigating departments and the executive branch for efficiencies. They're the ones that you know, found a couple years ago that $10 billion of fraudulent unemployment claims had been handed out. They are the ones that found that this governor had misreported nursing home deaths by I believe, 40%. I want to expand that budget because I want my department directors to come into that office every single day and know that they have to be on their A game. That's how you hold government accountable. It starts with the person in charge.
That's a fantastic idea. The Auditor General's being independent and being empowered have great ability to separate all the noise that we often hear in politics because they look at a problem and they say, here's what our findings show. And too often, I think we hear, you know, talking points from one side or the other. And I think that's a fabulous way to kind of cut through that noise. When you talk about the state of Michigan being so divided and, you know, the House being run by one party and the Senate being run by another party, how can you get legislators to come together and do some of these things that you say are so important for moving Michigan forward?
So I would say that I have a history of doing it. I mean, when we passed FOIA reform, it was a 10-bill package, and every single one of those bills passed the chamber unanimously. But you look at my record as speaker, it wasn't just that. I mean, I was the legislator that introduced legislation to expand expungements in the state of Michigan. When I was a prosecutor, certainly I was tough on crime, but I also saw the way that the law was set up. It put those that had committed a crime in a position where they could no longer get a job. That was something that I wanted to fix. We got it done. Eliminating driver responsibility fees. You may remember that we had put this people in this state in a position, we had put 350,000 of them in a position where they could no longer get a driver's license, 75,000 of them in the city of Detroit. I made that a priority when I was a speaker, and I believe that legislation passed unanimously as well. So I've got a history of tackling big issues, especially in a bipartisan fashion. We're going to get it done again.
It's a crowded field. Just on the Republican side, I think John James, Mike Cox, Eric Nesbitt, Garrett Saldano. How do you fight through? How do you stand out and get through the Republican side of this thing?
So number one, it's going to be hard work. But number two, going back to the beginning of this interview, it's going to be that positive vision. Again, when I travel this state, the voters that I listen to, they don't want somebody to look back. They want somebody to look forward, and they want real solutions. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be positive every single day. We're going to focus on the team aspect. How many politicians do you see go out there and they talk about, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that? Listen, all of these things that we're going to get accomplished, I can't do it alone. We're going to have to do it as a team. That's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the team. We're going to focus on a positive vision. And I believe it's going to resonate as we're out there campaigning.
Tom Leonard, former Speaker of the House, a partner at Plunkett Cooney, running for governor. Thank you so much for being with us. I know we'll have you back plenty of times between now and then. Good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much, my friend. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, boy, having a...